bonjour les auditeurs, au bienvenue à Perdu en postulation. Je suis Nicolas Volpi et avec moi, en le studio, la légende du podcasting, Noël, fils de Patrice.
Noël, oui, mais bonjour, quoi. C'est très exigeant de parler en postulation. Et bon, je suis prêt de parler, quoi.
C'est magnifique, Neil. Vous avez un accent de la Belgique.
Oui, oui.
C'est vrai. C'est
quelle surprise, mais j'habitais en Belgique depuis une année, quoi.
Je voulais parler français aujourd'hui.
Oui.
Parce que nous avons beaucoup des auditeurs en Canada.
Oui, oui.
Mais
oui.
Nous avons auditeurs en Saskatchewan, Ontario, British Columbia.
Ah oui, pour les Canadiens.
Ouais. Ouais. Pas des auditeurs en Québec. De le francophile.
Aucune. Ah, c'est quel dommage, quoi.
C'est ça, hein. C'est ça.
Incroyable.
Pardon à les auditeurs francophiles. Pardon à les auditeurs de Québec.
Oui, oui. C'est la dernière fois que ah, shit, it's gone.
Oh man, we should have stopped while we were ahead.
Yeah. J'ai oublié tout le français que j'avais avant, mais maintenant, anglais.
Anglais.
Et la dansk, I dansk. Yeah,
that's for a future one, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, actual English, do we say?
Yeah, we can go with actual English. And, well, listeners, that was unprompted. That was improvised.
Unprepared, especially on my side. It's been, I did live in Belgium at one stage. That's, for any francophones, they would have heard my little Belgian qua at the end of every sentence. I just do that to buy myself some time. It's just a little habit I have. But in any case, it's been too many years. If I was living there, I think I could pick it back up again, but it's just been too long. It's been bloody 8-9 years since I lived there.
It's also a bloody difficult language when it comes to the grammar. You have a rule and then you have 3,000 exceptions. It's
painful. I find the sentence construction very hard as well. Like, if you take something in English that is like, oh, I would have preferred if he had gone there, you know, and then you're like, ah, j'ai préféré ce... See, you know, it's just like, where the... no, I'm not going to manage it, you know?
Yeah. And it's so there you have one that I find not as difficult in terms of speaking, but very difficult in terms of the grammar. Yeah. Whereas then you and I have both learned Danish, where it's the other way around. Yeah. Very straightforward in terms of sentence structure, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then you get to pronunciation and you're like, nothing is pronounced the way it's written.
Sadly.
What's the point?
Sadly.
Of this, right?
One thing I'm finding with the Scandinavian languages is that they're so easy to mutually make sense of. Like, you can read Swedish now. If you just sit down and try and read Swedish, you will. Or Norwegian, same thing. Even more, even easier. But in terms of speaking, I'm finding Danish as difficult as ever and depressingly hard to make any progress these days. It's like I've hit some kind of plateau and
there's a definite ceiling with it. I see it even with Maria being Danish and me being exposed to it, you know, at family gatherings and everything.
Yeah.
There is a ceiling also where, in comparison to other languages, like let's say you were the same Irishman you are, but living in Italy.
Yeah.
The marginal gain of every little bit more of Italian you would learn, or let's say in France, would be huge. Whereas here, you get to a point where it's like, okay, well, they're already just using more and more English words.
So. Yeah, exactly. In fact, they're meeting us in the middle more so than us meeting them.
Exactly.
In the
middle.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sadly.
Well, there you go.
Languages, eh?
Languages, eh, Neil? But great work on your French. I was surprised myself because I really also only took it that 1 year. That
exactly. But I mean, being a Romance language native yourself, right? That is for sure a big help. And when I switched to Portuguese, then when I moved on, I again picked it up much faster than if it was, you know, anything else.
Right.
If it was, you know, I don't know, Greek or something like that. I think there's some serious economies of scale there for sure.
Yeah. Well, the listeners, here we are. We're back to postulate. You can, as always, send us in your postulations, lostinpostulation@gmail.com, or on our Instagram, lostinpostulation.
Someday we need to just let it go.
Well, no, that was the Instagram.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were about to say X. Yeah, no, I'm waiting for the X at
X.
Postulation. At Instagram, yes, 100%. That's where we're...
At Instagram.
At Instagram,
that's the corporate one.
Yeah. So, at lostinpostulation on Instagram, at impostulation on X.
Yeah.
Nothing on TikTok for now.
No, exactly. And yeah. Listeners, you know, do us a great favor. If you haven't already, you can click that subscribe button. It really helps to grow the podcast.
It really does.
Let your friends know.
Yeah, always. I mean, spread the word. We love the positive reviews. Again, it seems like we're on universally 5 stars. I'm almost goading the listeners. I'm daring them to give us a 4-star at this stage. But like, the reviews look great. That is like top class. So now what we need now is just more subscribers.
More subscribers. And Neil, speaking of subscribing, do you subscribe to the notion, the concept, the institution of brunch?
Again, this is one of those topics where if you had asked me at different points in time, my answer would vary massively. We all had that brunch craze from my early mid-20s, probably about 10, almost 10 years ago now, where I was all about it. And it was like every weekend, even here in Copenhagen, it was like, where am I? It wasn't if I'm going for brunch. It was which brunch place to go to. However, big, huge however, I've recently been burned a number of times with brunch because it's just too damn popular. And whether you're in Barcelona, as I was recently, or Brussels, where I also tried to get brunch recently, it's a queuing game now. It is literally, where do you want to stand in a queue for half an hour or more before we eat? Sometimes even like 45 minutes to an hour, right? And what you're getting, okay, we all love Eggs Benny, right? It's great, but like, that's it. That's kind of the deal. Like, you might get a Mexican Eggs Benny where it's like
huevos rancheros.
Yeah. Or even something even less distinct where it's just like Eggs Benedict with a bit of like paprika on it or something. You know, like it's good. It's fine. But at this point, I'm like, is this really it? You know? And have I just completed brunch now? And I'm like, it actually doesn't really do it for me anymore. And then last point on this before I hear your side of things, the alcoholic side of the brunch world where it's all, you know, mimosas and Bloody Marys and stuff, does not do it for me at all now. No. That's just like the wrong way to start your Saturday, or it's certainly the wrong way to continue your Sunday. So I'm just like,
the Lord's Day.
If anything, yeah, come on. This is, at least let's try and keep Sunday sober, you know, just for our own sake now. And maybe I'm speaking to the over 30s here more so that they know where I'm coming from on this. But like, it's really just now a case of, I'm all for a brunch, I'm also fine if we leave it and go for dinner later, you know? I don't think it's the critical moment of the weekend that it used to be. But it's a good provocation all the same.
Yeah. Do you know who wins?
Who wins?
The ones that say, screw brunch as a time, let's have a big breakfast early. When nobody is there, eating the exact same things we would eat anyways at the brunch.
At the same restaurants?
Potentially, yeah. Although we have you know, brunch exclusive ones, but still, if you're there, maybe they open at 9:30, 10.
Yeah.
Like, you still beat out all the hangovers and all of this, right?
Exactly. And I think with anything popular as well, it was a bubble, right? That restaurants, cafes got wise to the trend and were like, what's the highest margin brunch we can offer here? Like, what's the lowest effort we can do? And what's the highest number we can charge for it? And I feel like, unfortunately, that's what you find in many brunch places, even reputed ones here or formerly good ones. You get the plate or whatever and you're like, seriously, I paid €30 for this? Like, you know, and it's just because it's quote unquote brunch. You're paying for the brand. It's like, it's a luxury brand now, you know? So I feel like you have a high probability to kind of get squizzed a little bit, or like a little bit overpaying for what you're actually getting food wise. I'm willing to be proven wrong. If listeners want to come at me and say, well, you clearly haven't tried brunch in BAM, ABC, let me know. But honestly, I can say I've done maybe 20 brunches in the past few years and not one has, you know, blown me away.
No. And I guess what I would like you to postulate on is brunch a function of the time of day or is it a function of the type of food? I had an animated discussion about this the other
day. Time of day or type of food?
What makes brunch?
Brunch. I think it's the food, actually, more so.
Okay.
Because I think there's enough very hungover people that they can't physically get to the brunch place until like 2 o'clock, you know, 3 o'clock.
Okay.
And they still want the Eggs Benedict
they
or
still
whatever.
Call it brunch.
Yeah. And or they'll be like, when do you stop serving brunch? You know, they'll just have it, you know. It's like all day breakfast. Like, I'm fine with a breakfast at 4 p.m., if you're at an all-day breakfast place. I think that's more of a US concept, but still, like, if it's what I want, I'll get it, you know? So I think I can imagine it was an animated discussion because, yes, you might argue, okay, it's 2 p.m., sorry, that's lunch now, you know? But what is the hard cutoff for brunch? I've never really been clear on that.
So according to the rules, inverted commas, traditionally accepted time universally between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think is fair, because you would say, you know, breakfast times, maybe you stop around 9.
Yeah.
For even the lazy ones,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you're already talking a Spanish lunch by 2 p.m.
Well, this is the interesting thing is in the Nordics, lunch is 11:30.
That is true.
So
yeah.
You're
on the dot.
Forget about brunch.
Beat it out at 11:28 even.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like they've finished having their, you know, whatever, rye bread and
Bonville down.
That's at like 7.
Oxygen,
that's
right?
Done at 7 a.m. ish,
yeah.
Like 6:45.
Yeah.
So then brunch would, in theory, in Denmark, have to happen at like 9 to 10. You
right,
know. So
right.
Again, we're just too far apart as a species. We all eat at 2 different times. So I feel like we can never nail down this timing aspect of brunch.
So for you, it is the food. So there are particular foods you would only have at a brunch, such as an eggs Benedict. Say.
I've probably said eggs Benedict about 4 or 5
exactly.
times already, and it's because I'm devoid of other
with the salmon?
Nah, well, that's part of Eggs Benedict, I think, right? But I had one recently where it was...
If you want it.
Yeah, yeah. But you can also get it with, like, bacon.
Yeah, that might be the... Is that Eggs Florentine?
Could be. Maybe. I should have researched this, actually. But, yeah, I think that's the classic one. And then you always get stuff like pancakes, chicken and waffles I've seen sometimes as a brunch option. Pretty amazing, actually.
You think so?
Yeah.
Is it fried chicken on the waffle?
Okay. Well, where I've had it, at least. Sorry, that is one I would go for again. Although that could feature on any menu. That could be a lunch menu.
But that could very much be the essence of brunch, because you are taking the BR with the waffle.
Yeah.
And the unch from the chicken. You wouldn't normally have chicken at breakfast, and you wouldn't normally have a waffle for lunch.
You know,
together... That is the essence.
So that I haven't really gotten into, as in, should each dish at brunch be a philosophical combination of something breakfasty with something lunchy?
Right.
I hadn't ever really thought of that. I always just kind of thought it's a sandwichy, eggy kind of a thing, you know? But honestly, I think this links back to our big bets for 2024, that social media is continuing to die a death, and the concept of sharing what you're doing is becoming more and more cringe, right?
Especially your food, please.
Exactly. It's just become so played out now that people take pictures of the food, etc. So brunch as a concept, I think, thrived exactly because of social media, because you were able to post a story or an Instagram to say hashtag brunch, hashtag blah, 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 you know, and it was all just part of an identity thing of, I'm the type of person who has brunch, look at me, isn't that great? So now then that, when social media is coming to its, I think, slow decline, or at least the concept of each individual sharing their life to social media is declining, therefore the concept of brunch kind of loses its luster as well, where it's like, well, okay, I could also just not do this and nobody's gonna, you know, carry the way, you know.
So you call the shot. We've reached peak brunch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we reached one way from here.
I think we reached peak brunch like six years ago.
Yeah,
it was crazy. Like Sidecar here in Copenhagen was like queues down the road out the door.
Unreal.
Place to be. And who talks about Sidecar anymore? You know, sorry, Sidecar.
Haven't been there in years.
No interest.
Been there since pre-pandemic.
But also because, and here's a good example, Sidecar introduced like a self-serve brunch where it's like, here's your plate, go get it, it's over there.
Yeah.
Like a glorified hotel breakfast, basically. And who wants that? Who wants to pay €30 for that? You know?
No, exactly.
Insane. Sorry.
It's only cool when it's part of my booking at the hotel. Right?
Exactly.
Like that's,
exactly. And I love
that's
it.
That's the value.
In that scenario, I'm happy, but like Sidecar, no thanks. But yeah, brunch, a great topic that is often not talked about enough. There's a place for our Brussels listeners. I know we have a few. PEC 47 has a few branches in
that
Brussels.
That was next to where I had my pad Brussels.
There's one there, Louise kind of area, right?
But also you were queuing.
Exactly.
But I would look out the window.
Yeah.
So I would peek out over my balcony. I'm like, go now.
Jump out
and go.
But that's an example. Like they don't take reservations. You have to queue there. You get there. It's so totally unorganized. If it's raining, you're all like huddled in under a little canopy. 45 minutes can go by.
But you know the worst part? And it's not just that place, but all of these ones you mentioned in Copenhagen, in New York, in Barcelona, I don't care.
Yeah.
By the time you get there, half the stuff on the menu isn't available anymore.
Yeah. Oh, so it's gone now. Yeah,
sorry, there's no eggs Benedict.
Yeah, you got to come back
here. Oh, here, have the goat cheese salad.
Outrageous.
But this is brunch. Yeah. I can have the goat cheese salad at lunch.
I really don't like the arrogance that waiters adopt when there's a queue for their restaurant, you know? Because suddenly it goes out the window and it's no longer about let me serve you, but it's like, you're lucky. You're lucky to be getting a seat here. And you'll take whatever we give you. You know, it really changes the dynamic.
Right.
We were queuing in Barcelona. We were queuing for a brunch place for maybe 5-10 minutes. And then I looked on Google Maps and just around the corner, there was another one with no queue. And I was like, we are going 100%. Yeah. And meanwhile, the waiter at this place was like, chill out, guys. Relax. Hey, we'll get to you in a second, okay? Just wait, you know? As if it was like the world's greatest hotspot that we all just, oh my God, I hope they let us in. Like, it's almost like a nightclub vibe, which famously I'm also not very in favor of.
Right.
with the pickers at the door of nightclubs, you know. It was awful. So I'm fully against it. Also, come on, like 2024, can we have a booking system? Like, it's not that much to ask. I'll pay if you want, like, but just let me book a place and show up and sit down. That's just absolutely outrageous. No. Sorry now. Yeah.
So once boycott again, the brunch places.
Boycott brunch. Boycott unbooked brunch as well. Mm. Boycott queuing for restaurants in general. Same problem in
just
Amsterdam.
Cut the queue.
You have to queue for bakeries in Amsterdam, and cafes. It's ridiculous. It's done.
It was already the most crowded city in Europe. Now it's just too much.
But again, they, for some reason, have kind of pushed back on the queuing idea, or like on the booking idea or the reservation idea. Mm. And they're just like, no, absolutely not. Like, we're not willing to invest in that technology. So you deal with it. You just stand there. Plan your day and then throw those plans aside when you come to our brunch place, because you don't know when you're going to be done here, you know. I think we've evolved. We have, you know, driverless metros. We have such great stuff. Why can't we figure out how to run a restaurant without queues, you know? Outrageous. Sorry, got me riled up here now.
You got me there. I think let's throw this out. Let's hear what the listeners have to say.
Yeah.
And listeners, like Neil at those brunch spots, consider yourselves lucky for what's about to come after the break.
Listeners, welcome back once again to a fan favorite segment, and one we haven't done in a while. I'm talking, of course, about one-star Google reviews.
Yes, 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 Neil. It's been way too long.
This is one that probably generates the most fan feedback, I think. It, for some reason, has really connected with the zeitgeist. I love it.
I believe so.
For the new listeners or the ones who don't know or don't remember the concept, let me just give a quick reminder. There are places out there in the world, and the majority of them have a Google Maps page or a Google Maps node or whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. And as Google has decided, everything can be reviewed, from statues to hills to dry cleaners to parking lots. Like, everything can be reviewed. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Is another discussion entirely. We're not here to pass judgment on that. What we're here to look at are the one-star reviews, and hence our segment, One-Star Google Reviews. We are here to talk about those angry, disgruntled consumers who felt the need to get online and vent a little bit about their experience. Now, historically, we have done this through, I suppose you could say, the usual suspects of one stars, right? Because it has been things like petrol stations, dry cleaners, dentists. I think we've had a couple of parking places.
Yeah, one in Dublin, actually, if I remember.
Yeah, famous one. I still want to get back and view that one, actually, or at least to just check it out and see what is going on, or if it even still exists. However, we thought this time we would try and set the bar a little bit higher, or at least to try and, just make it a little bit interesting here. So what we're doing today, at least what I will kick us off with, and then we'll see what you have on your side, is to start with something that is almost universally adored. Mm. Because again, like, you'll always have one-star reviews for everything, but surely, if something is just basically amazing, it's going to be very hard to find out what exactly people dislike about it, right? So without further ado, I think let's get into our first, and I don't use the term lightly, universally adored place.
Okay.
So I am talking about the Grand Canyon National Park.
Yes.
One of, if not, probably the best reviewed thing in the world on Google, honestly.
Is that how high we're talking?
We're talking 4.8 on Google, wow, which is, you see that a lot. So 4.8 is good. From 58,576 reviews.
Wow.
So that, to me, is as close to universally adored as you can get.
Significant. Right? And you rarely hear a bad word about the Grand Canyon.
Pretty much, there's very few places where people come back and go, yes, it was actually better than I expected, but the Grand Canyon is one of them, where they're like, I know it sounds amazing, but it's actually better.
It's even better.
The scale, have you been there actually? No.
No, I've been to Arizona, but I haven't been to Grand Canyon.
So close.
Exactly.
Don't go now, because as we'll get into it, during the off season, it's not quite the place to be, but still, apparently, it's amazing. This mile-deep geologic wonder features hikes, mule rides, and rafting. It's just the place to be.
Absolutely.
The Grand Canyon National Park. However, not for everybody. And what we'll quickly see is there are some whose complaints are at least somewhat understandable. Mm. But as we go on, you're going to start to notice a slightly peculiar trend with some of these reviews. And I'm interested to get your reactions to both. Okay. But let's start with Jose Ramirez. Mm-hmm. Or Jose, I don't know how you pronounce it. He's a local guide with 114 reviews, so he knows his stuff. Mm-hmm. And 6 months ago, he dropped the one star. Now, keep in mind, 6 months ago from now, that's, you know, what, October time?
Yeah.
September, October. So maybe not the best time to go, but putting that aside, he says, beautiful views, but disappointment place. Oh. Everything is closed, nothing really here. And I'm as ever, I'm doing the review verbatim. I don't want to get it wrong. I'm saying exactly what the person typed. 4 hours of travel wasted. I understand is a seasonal place, but at least have something like a small groceries and vending machines for tourists available. We were charged for going into the park, but once inside, nothing was open or available. Had to return 1 hour back to get a water of water. Seems dumb being a world wonder.
Okay, Jose. I mean, so my assumption is that if he had looked this up before going, he could have understood, hey, the park is open, but a lot of stuff isn't operational off season, so
yeah,
bring your own water.
For me, the word that got me was groceries, because I'm like, and maybe it's a lost in translation thing, but it's like, man, this is a natural wonder. Like,
yeah.
They weren't built with groceries like stuck on the side, also, you know. Like there is no 7-Eleven as part of it. Like
they actually weren't built. Period. Yeah. Right. I mean, but also the other point is he's giving a 1 star to there being no vending machine, no blah blah blah. But the actual attraction that he went there to see,
he saw it,
and he saw it in the same way in September, October as he would have had in July. Yeah, am I right?
He also even posted photos. It looks like a lovely day, clear day. Like nothing problem. Like, and he said his first two words are beautiful views. So somehow still he has weighed it all up in his head and goes, yeah, 1 star. Couldn't be worse.
And he mentioned 4 hour drive. I'm wondering if it had only been a 1 hour drive, if he would have maybe thrown in 2 extra stars.
But this is the thing. What I'm finding with these Google reviews, the more we do, is there's basically only 2 ratings available. People are only giving a 5 or a 1.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a 3 or a 2 or even a 4.
Yeah.
Like, it's sadly, and this is a prime example, dude. You said beautiful views to start with, so maybe it's a 2 star. It's not if it was ugly views and disappointing place, then it's a 1 star. Yeah, but it's not. It's one of the most beautiful views in the world.
Beautiful views.
Say you, Jose. You know. So anyway, a little bit annoying.
So adjudication panel says, Jose, you really need to up your review game.
Yeah, and the public kind of agrees, because on Google you get like thumbs up if people like your review.
Yeah, the helpfuls.
He's got like 4. So I don't think this is the one. At least he included pictures. You can see kind of just a random picture there.
That's the Grand Canyon. Beautiful.
Amazing. So a couple of other 1 stars like that. Kyle White with 3 reviews a month ago. So again, off season, maybe part of the problem. But Kyle says, poor management of trail systems. Typical government worker incompetence. Oh. Overall quality and attention to conditions of trails used to be way better years back.
Okay, what was his name?
Kyle White.
There's a couple aspects I like about this one.
Okay.
In terms of now, you don't need to go full on to the government, Kyle, so I think you bit off a bit more than you can chew there. What I do like is he is focusing on trails, he's focusing on safety, he's focusing on maintenance aspects, which are crucial for a national park, and that he's benchmarking. So it sounds from that review as if he's been there before, and the trails had been in a better condition.
Yeah, again, though, that's not 1 star, you know, like, because he's been before, he must have loved it.
It depends how good they were before and how bad they are now.
But he liked it enough to come back, right?
Yes.
So he's like, let's go see the cool Grand Canyon again. And there was one aspect that he didn't like, which is the trail systems, right?
Right.
Why is it a 1 star then?
What about everything else, right? So you're saying he's not giving enough of a balanced view?
Just make it, if it's a 3 star, it's a 3 star, you know?
Right.
You can say simply incredible views, let down, unfortunately, by a terrible trail system. I would love that review. If it was 3 star, I would have great respect for that review.
But the trail system, I mean, that's the arteries of the park, right? That's like if we had, I have a good example. The city of Brussels.
Our favorite punching bag.
There's a lot of great things in Brussels.
And there's
great restaurants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's great culture. There's, to an extent, great people. and everything is ruined by the fact that the arteries, the roads in town are a shit show, and you're always stuck in traffic.
That is a very fair point.
Which leads a lot of people to give all of Brussels a 1 star.
Which is such a shame. And that's I agree, though, that's not fair. Like,
give Brussels a 2.5.
Yeah.
Can't give halves.
I have a very sunny recollection of Brussels, though, I think.
But not just literally sunny.
No, certainly not. Yeah. But more just because it was my first time living abroad. It was like a great experience in many ways. So I kind of have a biased positive view towards Brussels. And if I have ever said on the record, it's a failed city and it should be shut down, that was purely in jest. That wasn't, you know, a genuine
It was satire.
No, exactly. It's a great place. And
you get the point.
Yeah, exactly. But that was Kyle, who really doesn't like the government. So one more, which has, you know, a perhaps legitimate complaint from Chase Davis with two reviews. Chase, not impressed, 1 star 3 months ago. Chase says, worst wonder of the world. I have been here twice and can confirm this place is mid. Only a big hole in the ground. So I guess if you like huge holes, this is your place.
Whoa, Chase.
No. I don't know what Chase likes if he doesn't like the Grand Canyon as a wonder of the world. Now, but the thing I picked up on here, a bit like Kyle before, is this is his second time. So if he hated it so much the first time, if it was so mid, why did he come back again? Like, it's not going to change. Like, it's the same
canyon.
So I, to be honest, if Chase came away the second time and was like, it's still bad, I hate it. That's on you, Chase.
Chase has to reevaluate a few things in his life, I think. It's fair if he hated it the first time. That's fine.
Exactly. Leave a 1 star the first time and get on with your life, you know?
But it's not fair to double up.
You know the definition.
Yeah.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Chase has somehow been to the Grand Canyon, thought it was mid, called it the worst wonder of the world, and then came back. I don't know what the time horizon is.
What doesn't he like about it? So he says it's because it's just a hole.
Yeah.
But what do you expect from something called the Grand Canyon? You know what a canyon is, Chase?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Chase was...
tower?
Yeah, like, I think he was following the crowd a bit, Chase. Like, he's like, oh, you got to go if you're in the area, you know?
Yeah.
But
twice.
Yeah, I think, and in a small way, I kind of sympathize with Chase, because if he has spent his entire adult life visiting canyons, you know, and he's like sick to death of canyons, then okay, the Grand Canyon is just a canyon and it's another one. Mm. It's a bit like Iceland, where you can't move for waterfalls. They're absolutely everywhere.
Right, or volcanoes, and, for that matter.
But when you do visit Iceland, the first few waterfalls you see, you're like, wow, mind blown, amazing. But then by the fifth, sixth, or seventh one, you're like, yep, that is also a waterfall, you know.
So the fifth or sixth waterfall you visit that trip bears the brunt for
everything
else, right?
And you give it 1 star and you move on.
Yeah,
but
gotcha.
Chase, I feel like, okay, maybe he's just seen one too many canyons. And grandness or not, wonder of the world or not, he's just not impressed. But these are some of the more typical 1 star reviews, I think, of the Grand Canyon. Fair. However, here's where things got a little bit strange, and interested to hear your thoughts on this. Here's a review from EA 2 months ago, 1 star. My boyfriend and I went to the Grand Canyon, pants on tight.
Pants on tight.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we both got hit with a gust of wind and lost our pants and underwear in a second.
No.
We had to run back to the car in front of all the children. How humiliating. This is a real 1 star review. 100%.
So their trousers...
gone. And pants.
Blown off.
Pants and underwear blown off in the wind, right?
And underwear.
Yeah.
Are they wearing shoes? Like, how is that possible? They must have also lost their shoes.
This is certainly not possible, right? So I read this review and I was like, what the fuck? So then I just moved on. I was like, okay, someone's having a laugh.
But also then they're blaming...
Yeah, the Grand Canyon. Yeah.
Wind.
100%.
Okay.
So I scrolled past it then. I was like, okay, that was weird. The next review, Bob Barker, 5 months ago. My recent sojourn to the Grand Canyon proved most disheartening. Whilst I stood enraptured by its majestic vista, a rogue German pilfered my pantaloons, leaving me disrobed and forlorn. To compound my woes, a moldy Hershey's bar slipped from my grasp into the sandy abyss. This lamentable event casts a pall upon my memory of the canyon's grandeur, and I shall never return. So Bob has also lost his trousers.
Germans doing bad things.
Someone took it. And then... this is when I started to realize, oh, apparently this is a thing.
Am I missing something? Like, is there a...
there is no logic
pun here or something?
There's no pun. There's no logic. We don't even know necessarily where this started. But then there's hundreds and hundreds of 1 star reviews for the Grand Canyon where people lose their pants in various ways. There's some other good ones. I'll just do some quick fire ones. Lucifer Gray, me and my husband decided to visit the Grand Canyon as we'd never been before. Most of the experience was pleasant. However, while gazing at the amazing view, both me and my husband had felt a draft in our nether regions that shouldn't have been there. After looking down, we noticed that our pants had been stolen. We had to hide in a bush until our friend could bring us some clothes. We'll not be coming back. 0 out of 10.
Were their pants already off in that scenario?
No, it sounds like they were... noticed the breeze and then they're like, oh, damn. Like,
oh, we're not wearing pants
exactly
longer. Okay.
Anna Brinkman, 2 reviews. I can't believe this. After a 14-hour flight and a 23-hour drive, we finally arrived at this so-called Grand Canyon. As we stepped out of the car, our pants were abruptly ripped off our legs and we stood there freezing. No warning from the staff, who didn't care and wouldn't give us a refund. It was the worst experience ever.
I wonder where this came from.
this is the thing. I actually then started Googling to be like, what's up with the Grand Canyon stuff? And there is a few articles online, because this is all in the past few months. Right. There's a few articles online being like, people are taking to Google and leaving one-star reviews of the Grand Canyon, which is true. But none of them address where is this coming from? Like, who started it? There was even one article was like, it seems to have started from this one tweet, like on X, right? And the tweet was something like, next time you're angry at your boyfriend, just leave a one-star review for the Grand Canyon or something like that, you know? But there was no mention of pants ever at all. And then I suppose to leave the listeners with something to do as research, there's one particular review that goes on for about... We would have to book a good like 5 minutes to get through it all here. So I'm not going to. But do seek out the review of Georgia Close, because it's quite well written.
Okay.
And sure enough, Georgia does end up losing her pants. Somewhere throughout the journey.
I wonder if this is going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy where people actually start taking off their actual pants.
It's a matter of time. Right. I think they and we have hit upon the same paradox, which is the one-star review of an amazing thing.
Right.
Because I guess the joke is, who would ever leave a one-star review of the Grand Canyon? Like, it's universally, objectively amazing. It's an actual wonder of the world.
Yeah.
So unless your pants were being stolen, you wouldn't leave a one-star review, you know? So there you go.
It's perplexing.
I stumbled upon it, but it is mad.
The wonderful world of Google reviews. Well, Neil, thanks for sharing that. I think Grand Canyon getting a lot of heat.
For sure.
The point on the trails, though, you know,
from our guy. I'm really stuck with you. I think you're anti-government.
No, it's nothing to do with the government, but like the trails, like that's important. You're a hiker.
Yeah, but like, you're it's still the Grand Canyon. It's like having the world's best meal, but then the toilets were a bit dirty. It's like, okay, it's one small aspect, but
look at the reviews of Noma. There's people talking about the toilets.
Yeah, but actually, that was what I had in mind, where I was like, they could do better on the toilets. Yeah,
you see.
But okay, you see the point, though, which is like, broadly, if the experience itself was amazing, and then there's some little peripheral parts that weren't great, that's a 4-star, or a 3 at best. It's not a 1-star, you know?
There needs to be, an education effort from the government.
Yeah.
To tackle this, how to do a proper Google review that is somewhat objective.
Exactly. I think Google reviews should be at least a bit more nuanced, where instead of 5 stars, it's like value for money, fun of the experience, novelty, you know, whatever it is, so that you can actually see, like on booking.com, it's a bit like, so it's actually amazing, but the value is terrible.
They started adding things where you can put, like, I think the price you paid for something, etc. on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because that's so relevant. Like, I would give 5 stars to a Dyson product, you know, if I got it for free. But then if you...
Not the vacuum cleaner.
No. Oh, really? Oh,
no.
Oh, yeah, you're not a fan.
Like, the hairdryer, we'd buy it 1,000 times over the vacuum cleaner.
It's a no-go.
No, it's a no-go. It's horrible, and it runs out of battery all the time, and it doesn't pick up any dust. Like, I just don't even want to...
Don't go there. So that's a 1-star.
Yeah.
An actual 1-star.
But also, oftentimes, I think you have to remember the stars are relative to your expectations of something.
Yeah, and also the price, though. That's, right. That's, I think, key.
Yeah,
because,
price,
like,
quality.
Again, if I went to Noma and paid 10 euro for it, I would give it a huge 5 stars. And if you pay 400 euro, you do have to think, was this 400 times better than a Big Mac? You know?
Right.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, Neil. I'm going to take you somewhere. We're going to cross over to the East Coast. We're going to go to the Statue of Liberty.
Keeping it stateside. I like
New York, yes.
Statue of Liberty. Yeah.
Also, objectively great over all Google reviews. 4.7 average on 99,090
reviews. That's so crazy. Because if you think, what percentage of people leave a review? Maybe it's 1%, you know?
Yeah. So think how many go to see the
Statue. We're talking, like, at this stage, that's 100 million, no?
Yeah.
Or if my quick math worked out.
Did you
that's
see the Statue of Liberty when you were in New York?
I've been up the Statue of Liberty.
You've been up it even. You're one of the few, Neil.
Pre-9/11, I was there in 1999.
Oh, wow.
And I think they stopped after 9/11. I don't know if they ever fully resumed it.
I've never been inside, no. I've been on that little island. But
you can go up it. Yeah. So there's a stairs all the way up, and you end up at the top, and it's like there's a steady stream of people. So you have, like, 2 minutes and you're just like, okay, cool, you're looking at the little crown, the windows, you know, and then you're back down again. But I was up it.
Beautiful.
Amazing.
You liked it.
Although,
what rating would you have given?
I would give it a 5, because it's once in a lifetime, and it's as anyone who has grown up in the Western world who has seen it once in media, it's like, I gotta go see it, you know. It's so recognizable. However, it is a bit like when you go up the Empire State Building you look out and you're looking at the iconic New York skyline minus one thing, which is the Empire State Building. So it's like when you look at the view of the Statue of Liberty, it's like, oh, that's the Hudson, yeah. You know? Like, right. Cool. It's more just cool to be inside it and look around and be like, right. Wow, I'm in it.
Right.
This is cool. Yeah. But yeah, sorry, go on.
No, please. Definitely. And I mean, there are a bunch of one-star reviews for it as well, as you had with the Grand Canyon. I'll share a few of these with you and we'll adjudicate, you know, whether they're fair or not. Dylan Patel, a local guide with 44 reviews, this from around 5 months ago, says, there's nothing there except the Statue of Liberty. You can see that from close by, or you can see that from far away. You're still seeing this Statue of Liberty. Nothing is going to change. The island is just a circle. It doesn't really have anything on it except a museum and the Statue of Liberty. So no longer just the Statue of Liberty, which we didn't even pay attention to once we got on the island. Maybe we only took one picture with it and that's it. Something to show people once when they're coming out of state or country.
Oh my God. This is like...
Dylan Patel.
Dylan has had... It's a moment that we've all had in our life. It's an existential crisis, basically. It's, right. He's realizing that life is but a fleeting series of experiences and nothing has any meaning. Everything is made up. Nothing matters. Probably around the same time he was writing this review, he turned to his partner and was like, money is made up. Like, we all just agree that money makes... Because like he's zooming all the way out and he's like looking at it as, oh my God, this is just it, you know? Like, this is just the thing. Sadly, I mean, I've been there. I've had these revelations. I haven't left any one-star reviews over it. But I think he's, unfortunately, Dylan has landed in a very deep existential moment and happened to express it in the form of a one-star review for a universally adored tourist attraction. Right.
And he still comes around then to say it's something to show people once when they're coming from out of state or country.
True. But again, like the Eiffel Tower, like many man-made structures to visit... Unless you have a deep respect for craftsmanship, like metalwork, metallurgy, or architecture or whatever, like for the average person, it's like the pictures, you know?
All right.
So there's nothing more to it. Like you can't expect to buy a ticket for the ferry and show up and suddenly your mind goes, oh, amazing. Right. Like it's this, you know?
Right.
It is what it looks like in the pictures. So I hope that most tourists, you know, when they go with that expectation of like, it's going to look exactly like every picture I've seen of it as well, up close. So then the question is, why are you visiting it actually? Mm. You know, is it to see it up close? Is it to just see if it's really exactly as you thought? Or is there finer details? Or are you just going to love the artistry of it? You know, admire that. I don't know. But all of this, Dylan has unfortunately been confronted with probably in an uncomfortable manner that he wasn't quite ready for.
Okay. So tough moment in Dylan's life.
For sure. For sure.
Commiserations. Next is Camilo Pineda with 15 reviews, also from around 4 months ago.
Okay.
Even put a picture here.
Thanks, Camilo.
Little picture, yeah.
Wait, is that the Ellis Island Museum or which is...
This is the ferry terminal.
Oh, okay.
Cool. He goes on to say, the monument is great. However, there are a 60 minutes line to board the ferry without any shadow to hide from the sun.
Mm. Ouch.
Do we take that as a one-star feedback of the Statue of Liberty? So the monument is great.
Mm.
Are they the ones who are supposed to provide cover from the sun?
No. And again, this is a four-star. This is at best a three. I'll grant it a three. But you can't. And I really think governments should be stamping down on this. Like, there should be fines for unmotivated one-star reviews where it's like, you just said it's great and you gave it one star, the lowest rating available. That's unethical. And it should be banned.
Unethical. You heard it here first, listeners. Next one, Juan Lee Cuaron.
Yeah.
No, Carrion.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh.
Avoid at all cost.
Now we're talking.
It is better to take the water taxi or Circle Line to see the statue up close.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. That's a good hack.
I've heard that, yeah.
The ferry service is terrible. Really long lines to leave the island and then take you to Ellis Island. You will spend 2 hours in lines and in overcrowded boats. The monument is great. But it is a shame that tax dollars and the entry fee are not offering a decent, well-operated service. Just like the subway in NYC or the garbage system.
Wow.
Where all the money goes?
Again.
Either terrible administration or corruption.
It's the latter. It's definitely the latter. I think this is a great example of how eventually... X percent of all one-star reviews will eventually mention the government's taxpayer dollars, etc., etc. This, again, is like he said in the thing very early towards the start, great monument, right? So, again, it's not a one-star, sorry to say. But I actually have a point of agreement here, which is the New York subway system. It works. It's extensive, but it is from the 80s. Right? Yes. It badly needs to be completely rehauled.
Warriors.
And it's crumbling, right? Like, it's not just like, slightly not okay. It will, if they don't intervene, I think that it will stop working in the next, like, 10, 15 years, something like that. I watched a little video about it. So, again, I am a bit disappointed that the greatest city on earth hasn't been able to crack, you know, a decent metro system yet. I feel like they have that in them. They can do it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think again, this is disappointing that the universally adored Statue of Liberty is getting absolutely slated. Avoid at all costs, I think was the words used here.
Yeah, right? Avoid at all costs. And I think Juan Lin, there's reviews for various parts of New York in here. He needs to be able to compartmentalize, right?
So yeah.
The review for the Statue of Liberty, which he said the monument was great,
exactly.
Should probably be at least a 3 or 4.
Yeah.
If you want to review the garbage system,
yeah, leave it
the
one
garbage
star.
System. Yeah, exactly. Do it here.
100%. Like, there was the same with Grand Canyon when I was scrolling through. Some of the reviews were like, this is a review of the tour guide who brought us there and he told us it was not going to be foggy, but it was. And it's like, okay, again, that is a terrible tour guide, but it's not exactly what you're reviewing here. I feel like at this stage, like, this should be a class in school, no? Like, I know we talk about critical theory and, like, we learn about it in literature, like how to critique things in a justified way,
right,
and express your disagreement with things. And I really think this is a problem because now, unfortunately, I have loved Google Maps over the years as a way to, you know, sort the wheat from the chaff and find the right place to go. But there's so many bad reviews now that you just can't. And I say bad reviews in this in the literal sense that they are bad. They're badly motivated justifications for slating something, you know, where they're going to go on talk about the government, or they're going to talk about the sun, it was too sunny that day, or like they forgot their purse and the person wouldn't let them have free stuff, like all these like stupid things that are just dragging down an otherwise good system. I think it's a real shame.
Couple more for you.
Yeah,
this one star 5 months ago again from Dre.
Cool name.
Could be the doctor.
Could be. He doesn't rule it out. He doesn't say I am not.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's usually our policy on this podcast. If they don't rule it out, it could very well be happening.
It's lock it in. Yeah.
Unless you want to be crammed like sardines, be yelled at by disorganized and aggressive staff, be shoved around, and eat / drink extremely overpriced and very, very, very low quality food that I wouldn't even give to a dog, then I do not recommend visiting.
Wow.
It's very unfortunate to say, yet alone experience.
Yeah.
Also, there's enough seats on the boat for about 16 people, but there will be a few hundred boarding at once, so be prepared to stand around with hardly anything to hold on to. Smiley face.
Right.
Huge waste of time and money. Tourism gone wrong. Dre.
Do we feel 16 is an accurate number of seats?
I mean, it's a very specific number.
Yeah.
More specific than the few hundred boarding. But I think there's probably somewhere in between.
People need to do like a debating course or something. Just because like this is a great example of how to diminish your own argument is when you use little inflated numbers like this where you go, they let on 10,000 people at a time and there's only 2 seats. What the, you know, like you're good. People, you lose people straight away. Yeah. Your argument goes out the window, you know? If he had rather said like they let on 110 people at a time, there's seats for maybe 60% of that.
Right.
Then I'm like, okay, that's a decent argument and something that's a legit complaint. And probably that's literally the case. But because he has gone with this 16 number, I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it was really hard. I'm sure the 16 people who sat down had a good time and the rest of you all suffered through it, you know?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And a couple more here, just to round things off. Jorge Negron from 2 months ago. Boycott NYC.
Oh, the whole city.
This is not the land of the free.
Okay.
Just hand over your paycheck. They tax you and they give you many tickets and you're not allowed to do anything without paying.
Yeah.
Well,
this is a wide-ranging...
The free isn't
many tickets.
A money terminology, Jorge.
Do they give you many tickets? I've never gotten any tickets in NYC.
I don't know if he's talking about, you know, parking infractions here, or if he's talking about, like, a lot of tickets to visit a lot of various things.
I thought it was, like, fines he's talking about.
Fines.
Like, hey, I got a speeding ticket.
I think Jorge might not have paid the parking meter.
Yeah, for example.
That could be an assumption.
And
that he's taking it out on the Statue of Liberty.
On Lady Liberty herself, a gift from France, let's not forget.
Yeah, well, and then we have We have Anson Liu. This is tough here. One star. People from all over the world come to see this. It's arguably the most recognized of landmarks of America.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair so
far. Yeah.
I travel a lot with the family, and usually I could stomach some rudeness. She's got a good rudeness threshold, okay?
Was the statue rude to her, though? This is what I'm trying to figure out.
But the lady at the lemonade stand on May 29th at 3 p.m. was simply far too rude to be working there.
Oh, my God.
Imagine tourists all around the world was greeted by your arrogance and complete indifference to people who are in line and simply wanted to buy a cold drink for their kids.
Yeah, it's always the kids. Yeah.
You need to find another job and not here representing our country.
Oh, sudden little twist at the end there.
Little twist, huh?
The name and everything, I was a bit like unsure. But so this, I still don't really get it, because this person say they travel a lot with their family, right?
Right.
But they are American.
Yeah.
Is that
America's
right?
A big place.
Yeah.
I mean, if you live in California, you got a 7-hour flight.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Travel, I suppose they mean within like domestic travel. Okay. So then it is an American person who went on holiday there and tried to buy lemonade for their kids. And it was the rudest experience, and they had to leave a 1-star.
Didn't say, apart from the fact that it has nothing to do with Lady Liberty, but didn't say that they weren't successful in purchasing the lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say it was over-underpriced. Didn't say it was bad. It's just the treatment they received of apparent indifference from the person at the lemonade stand.
But maybe they didn't even buy it because they were so insulted by the experience at the stand.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking was, this is a 1-star review for the lemonade stand, right?
Right.
And I'm pretty sure if I zoom into I'm on Google Maps at the Statue of Liberty Island itself. Is it called Liberty Island? I guess so.
Yeah.
I think so. It's not Ellis Island, it's the other one, right?
No, exactly, right in front.
So now if I type in lemonade, right? I just want to make sure that there isn't like a stand on that island.
That you could review itself, yeah.
Okay, in fairness.
She had to.
There is no lemonade. Oh! Yeah, well, Statue of Liberty Crown Cafe has its own. It has 4.1, and it has. Look at the lemonade right there.
There it is.
So,
she reviewed the wrong place.
Let's see if we have any. Buyer beware. If you buy the chicken tenders, no, okay. Rotten lettuce. Ooh, okay, that's not good.
Oh.
Very rude supervisor who wasn't happy asking about the ingredients, wasn't pleased with the food. Places is nice, blah, blah, blah. Long lines, overpriced food. Okay, so the usual aggressive manager comes up a few times. So that is where this review should have ended up. And I'm fine with that because this is a place that has 4.1, which is not great.
It's below our threshold of acceptance.
We always say 4.2 is kind of the sweet spot for acceptability.
Which now we're bumping up really to like a 4.4.
These days where it's fake reviews all over, I don't know what's real.
We don't know what to believe anymore, do we?
At this stage, word of mouth reco from a friend is like a 6-star review.
Golden, isn't it?
Yeah. I would much rather, even if it's not the best, I would much rather follow that.
Yeah.
I've been burned by 5 stars too many times.
Yes. Well, there you have it. Statue of Liberty or Grand Canyon?
Well, I've only been to one. I do think I'm overdue a Grand Canyon visit, actually.
Yeah.
I think I'm in my Grand Canyon era as well. Like, in my 20s, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. I would have been like, where's the beer? You know? But I think now I've matured a bit as a person.
Pants off.
Yeah, exactly. With my pants off. I want to experience that for myself, you know?
Right.
So I think it's high time. I've also never been further west than like Boston or Chicago, I think. So like,
oh, wow.
I need to actually see that part of the country.
Yeah.
And it could be this year. I'm still forming a plot. Let's see if it actually materializes.
I think you
should. But if it happens, I will go and see what happens to my pants at the Grand Canyon.
Please do.
Once and for all. What about you?
Bring a mic. Me? Oh, definitely Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a big statue guy?
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Like,
Google it. Yeah.
Yeah, and been to New York probably much more than my fair share of times. And I have nothing against New York, but when I go to New York...
Nothing against New York?
Plenty. Yeah. But when I go to New York now, I don't do all the touristy stuff anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I actually try to steer clear of it. So the hack for the Statue of Liberty is take the ferry to Staten Island.
I've heard that one.
Go have a great lemonade in Staten Island, which is probably cheaper than at the
actually,
statue. You get brilliant views of it.
Yeah. I mean, the hack for New York these days is just avoid Manhattan altogether. Isn't
it? Yeah.
You can do pretty well in Queens, Brooklyn, et cetera, et cetera. Long Island.
Upstate. Go up
Why
to
not?
Albany. Go see the governor.
Check it out.
I mean, yeah.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it. Neil, we've reached the end of this episode.
Indeed.
Before that, I mean, you know, I will need to ask you if you have
any parting shots for our listeners?
Here's a parting shot. I want to give
auditeur.
Yes.
Oui, bien sûr.
Mais. Oh yeah, that is crucial. Actually, I wanted to give a shout out to some of the great inputs we've gotten on the one star Google reviews.
Yes.
In particular, Mr. Introspective Awareness on Instagram has been in touch, and he put us onto the phenomenon of Hilsen Eric CEO, which is a genre of reviews unto itself here in Denmark. So we need to, in a future episode, we need to explore that a little bit more. But it's an open call once again to all listeners. Any other one-star reviews that you find, any amusing reviews, in any case, particularly clapbacks from the establishments themselves, we do love those. Those are increasingly rare these days as establishments have started to feel like they're wasting their time when they clap back. We do love to see those. So please keep them coming in. We love them. And they may feature on a future episode.
Listeners, merci beaucoup. Au revoir. À la prochaine semaine. Avec Perdu en postulation avec Noël, fils de Patrice.
Christmas Fitzpatrick. No thanks.
So long, Dr. Delight.